Remember that we are giving thanks to God. So if you do have an offering to give with you physically, you can drop it off in the basket as you leave. So let us take some time in silence and give thanks to God for his tithes, his offerings, and his gifts. Yeah, careful, don't create a noose on yourself there, Paige. So what you're going to do for the second phase, you get a minute again, but this time you can have one of your parents or siblings instructing you on how to tie. So take a minute and go right now. Oh, wait, Missy, you get that in the last phase. You can instruct her, but you can't touch her. I like it. All right, another 15 more seconds with that. All right, stop. We'll stop there. Untie your tie. All right, this is the last phase. Now, you can have one of your family members directly help you tie your tie. Physically help you.
Oh, Carolyn's going. Going to town. There you go. Good job, hey. Carolyn.
I just got my sports on. All right, we'll give you 10 more seconds. I like it. Ooh, Ryan's got a nice long one there. Aubrey, I like it. Good job. There you go. Bow tie. Represent. All right, we'll give Brandon a little bit more. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let me see what you got, Brandon. That's pretty good. Let's give them all a round of applause. That's pretty good. You did good. It's okay, Brandon. You want to keep working on it, you can, but it's okay. So, what phase did you do best? Put your hand up and give me a finger. 1, 2, or 3. Which phase do you think you did best with tie and tie? You have 3? Paige? What phase did you do best in? You participated. 1, 2, 3. That's good. Tyler? 2. Rylan, 3. Aubrey, 3. So, most of you, almost the majority of you, said phase 3, which was when you had somebody do it for you. And how this works for us as Christians is I want you to think about this. When we're in trouble, when we're in difficult times, and we rely just on ourselves and nothing else, sometimes that's when we do our work. That's when our tie owns us. Almost choking us, right, Paige? Like that first time you had it tied so tight that was almost wrecking your breathing. But then the second best thing we can do is when we rely sometimes on God. That's phase 2. That's where you let God instruct you, but you're still very independent and you're still trying to wrestle with that. But phase 3 is when you trust and you rely solely on God to help you. Even if you don't know where God's going to take you, even if you don't know what direction God is going to tie your tie, you know that at the end of the day, it's going to lead you to a much more pretty and beautiful place than you ever thought it would be. So I want you to remember that. This is a lesson for you, that when you trust solely on God, it gives you more opportunities to learn and to grow. And when you're done today, you can leave your ties underneath the your chairs. I'll still need ties at some point when we go back to regular worship, so I'll appreciate getting those back. But let's take a moment in prayer and give thanks for our gifts. Gracious God, we realize that as we watch our kids tie ties today, we realize that you are an integral and personal part of our lives. You touch our hearts and you touch our lives. And you are not a God who sits on a cloud, but please remember that these children be reminded that you, God, are an active, loving force in their lives, helping them around every bend and corner. Even when it seems like an impossible task, you, God, make it possible. For nothing is impossible with you. So please bless these kids throughout this summer and help them to find joy in creation and joy in you. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to start my sermon. I didn't tie my tie right, but I didn't tie my shoe right properly either, so I'll tie that. So I don't trip myself. And I don't want any of you kids to feel bad if you felt like your tie was a little off. I'll give you a secret. The best people that tie my ties are my wife and my mother. I'm not as good. I don't get it quite as tight as they do. We've all got room to grow, that's for sure. So our message today comes from that passage from Jeremiah, which Jeanne read for us. And I want to start today thinking about Chicken Little, of all people. Because I think all of us, at some point or another over these past 3 months, have been guilty of being Chicken Little prophets. Any of you that remember Chicken Little, remember, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And I hate to admit it, but a couple weeks ago, we had one heck of a weekend where I felt like Chicken Little. The fellowship hall flooded, the belt on the church lawnmower broke down, my dog died the night after that, and I was to the point where at the end of the week, I kept my eyes peeled on High Street, looking for the seven horsemen of the apocalypse to come running down there. And I was trying to make sure it wasn't Amish buggy just going down there, too, because sometimes we get those going down there. But it was one of those weekends where you just felt like a Chicken Little prophet. Well, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And when I have experiences like that, when we have experiences like this, I think it's important we open up our Bible and we read from prophets like Jeremiah. Because those Old Testament prophets and leaders, they give us a perspective on adversity. They put our perspective into place. And I want you to think about some of those people you've encountered in the Old Testament. Think about Moses, abandoned as a child. Think about Abraham, asked to kill his miraculous son. What about Hosea, who was called to marry an unfaithful prostitute? And Jeremiah was called at a very, very young age. He spent much of his teenage years not having boyhood fun, getting into trouble, but being a prophet, sharing the message of God's word. And guess what? His messages weren't very popular. They weren't messages that people wanted to hear. And he had to carry that heavy load as a young boy. In fact, I would argue that some of our worst days that we experience here in the 21st century are still better than some of the best days that the prophets got to experience in their time. Because they knew war, they knew disease, they knew famine and destruction. Not on a theoretical level, not something that was taught to them in a history book, but on a personal and profound level. And the thing about Jeremiah was he didn't have to guess what war was like, because he saw his family and his friends that never returned. He didn't have to guess what hunger drove you to do, because he had felt that awful pain in the pit of his stomach. And he didn't have to guess what destruction looked like either, because he had to live in the crumbled remains of his city. But it was Jeremiah who said, "The prophet who preceded you and me from the ancient times prophesied war, famine, pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesied peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. When the word of the prophet comes true, as he prophesied his peace, it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." See, what Jeremiah knew, what nobody else in his world knew, was that anyone could predict the bad things, the war or the famine, because of human selfishness had become far too predictable in his world, as it becomes far too predictable in our world. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And if we think about it on a daily basis, sin kills people in our world every single day, even if we may not put a name on it. It could be the circumstance that created us. And we can even look at ourselves as part of that analogy. We live in one of the most privileged countries in the world, and every generation that has lived here has encountered war, recession or depression, and some type of disease. For example, let's start with my generation, the millennials. We've seen wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We saw the Great Recession of 2008, and of course now we are living in COVID-19. Were you baby boomers? You experienced Vietnam and the tension and the pressure that came from that. And many of you who grew up were in your 20s and the 70s can tell me about the pain of buying your first house during the 1970s, during the Carter recession, when I think my parents told me, what was the interest rate, about 18% on a house? Yeah,
about 22.
And you lived through also the AIDS pandemic, which the numbers of casualties from that were way higher than the ones that we face right now. And you Depression-era children, you face some of the greatest circumstances that any of us know about. Because you can tell us about the horrors of World War II, the struggles of the Great Depression, 10 to 12 years to get out of, and the challenges of the diseases like polio. And I'm not saying that to depress you. What I'm saying that for is to say, you see, Jeremiah is saying that it doesn't take a great prophet to say that sin negatively impacts the world. But it just takes someone who has a basic understanding of history. Every generation experiences systematic sin in one way or another. And this sermon today is not a doom or gloom sermon. By no means, brothers and sisters. I share this with you because I want you to see how drastically different and transformative the peace that Christ offers us is different than from what the world offers us. It is very different. And it was Christ who fulfilled Jeremiah's word. He truly was the prophet of peace. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of earth. It was Christ through his sacrificial love that showed us the selfishness of our past can be crucified and defeated by the compassion of the present. And for Christians, we always struggle with how to live humble lives. How do we live humble lives without sinking into the self-flagellating depths of humiliation? And in the midst of this pandemic, my wife found an old Chronicles of Narnia series, and I've actually just finished it last week. And I was touched by what C.S. Lewis said in his second book, Prince Caspian. He said, you come of the Lord Adam and the Lady Eve, said Aslan. And this is both honor enough to erect the head of the poorest beggar and shame enough to bow the shoulders of the greatest emperor on earth. Deep content. Should honor enough to erect the head of the poorest beggar and shame enough to bow the heads of the shoulders of the greatest emperor on earth. Deep content. And that is such a great example of what Christ-like peace can be achieved through humility and compassion. It should lift the heads of everyone who has been oppressed, who has been hurt, who has been damaged, but it should also humble the hearts of those who have been given everything in life, those who feel privileged. It should be a truly balancing act for us. Because if we truly breathe in Christ's peace, as we did earlier in our meditative exercise, then we will realize that we are living in a world where we no longer have to be in competition with one another. Not everything's a race. But we can start being a world that connects with one another, that looks for opportunities to build bridges, not walls. A world that sees we are not born to struggle in isolation, but we are meant to thrive in community. But Christ offers us a different path, than the prophets that Jeremiah spoke about, the ones who preach war, the ones who preach famine, the ones who preach destruction. And that is why we know that Christ is the true Son of God. Because he offered an alternative route, and he lived it, he prophesied it, and he redeemed it. And he offers us a peace that is everlasting and transcends our hearts and our minds. Matthew 10:40 said, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So that means we are called to welcome the presence of strangers, to welcome the presence of neighbors, to welcome the presence of all people from all countries, of all religions, races, and creeds. Because your smile, even if it's caught underneath a mask, it doesn't go unnoticed. There's no unnoticed act of kindness in this world. But that smile is a building block in the implementation of Christ's peace for the world. And that foundation of peace cannot be broken. That foundation of peace cannot be shaken. Because God has built his foundation not on sand, but on rock, the solid and unshakable peace. And the peace that Christ offers us can only strengthen with the discipleship of more and more peacemakers. And we as Moravians believe that so dearly in this heart that we are called to be peacemakers. But let us strive to make the prophetic words of Jeremiah a reality in our own lives. And seek peace in your home, seek peace in your life, seek peace in your workplace. Because we know that is the fulfillment of Christ's call as Savior. Blessed are the peacemakers. So let us continue to follow in the wonderful footsteps of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and we know that you are the true Son of God, because you spoke the difficult words of peace that transcend this world, and you made them come true. So we are so grateful for the forgiveness of sin that we received from you. We are so grateful for the gift of redemption. Help us to live and breathe peace in our lives. We realize that is not always easy. The people angry, upset, and afraid. But we can offer them a different path. Because on the path to peace, there is room for all. For together, we are stronger in community than we are in isolation. And even when we deal with an affliction that socially isolates us, may it spiritually bring us closer together and in tune with our Savior. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we have another special musical recording for you. Charlotte was nice enough to do a recording of Amazing Grace for us, and we were really touched by it. I think it's a great opportunity to feature one of our young people, and we're so grateful that we keep getting these videos. If you're interested in doing one, please let us know, because it adds a lot of meaning and depth to our service. So thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Go in peace. Those of you who have pizzas, we'll bring them out to you, so make sure you don't leave out of the parking lot before we get those to you. Swallows, you may go ahead and head out first.